This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Gemini Ransom Effect on 107.1 FM, WJBB Radio. You're listening to GRE with Triple D and 1P.
The most fun you'll have in an hour and a half on a Saturday.
Devin, David, and DeBose with our special guest host, Patrick. And during the break, there was some hilarity going on.
Yeah, one of these days we're going to have to release the in-between segment conversations on pay-per-view.
I think that sometimes the
that would have to be an in memoriam.
Yeah, it is.
We found out that Professor D has fast fingers.
Yes, he does. And I will say that we're all a little bit ashamed and proud of him at the same time. So, before the break, Devin was just giving us some awesome stories on I don't even know, they were so good I forgot them.
Seven cars. I'm gonna go out and buy one.
He also talked about the military expertise.
Yes. expertise. So and the way how good we are as a nation of tracking illegal immigrants right now. So
illegal, and people that are supposed to be here.
We know how to vet people is what I heard permitted. You say.
Oh, yeah. We know how to vet them. We can track them. We know where to find them. So. But now, speaking of military and former military, we have Patrick Daly here with Edward Jones Investments. He actually was in the Navy.
That's correct.
Awesome.
Back in 2001 to 2005, honorably discharged, might I add.
That's always a good thing.
That's always a good thing. That's bad, though, when you have to announce that. That's honorably right. Discharged.
Honorably.
Honorably.
Honorably. Yeah. Yeah. That'll haunt you a little bit if you're not.
Yeah, exactly.
No big, no Bill Bird Dog there, huh?
No.
No.
Not at all.
Well, that's excellent. So, Patrick, tell us where your Edward Jones office is.
Right. So, I work for Edward Jones Investments. The office is in Social Circle, specifically at 224 Brookstone Place.
Right there. Just right.
Downtown, right?
Brookstone.
Just right there.
Just outside of downtown.
Just outside of downtown.
That's right.
Nice.
Is it anywhere near the Checkers?
Closer to the Blue Willow Inn.
Blue Willow Inn. There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You go there a lot?
The other place to eat.
Yeah, classy. Classy place.
Yeah, spicy. Yeah. Food's good.
Yes. Absolutely.
That's where Devin had his Christmas party.
Yeah, we had our Christmas soiree there.
Yeah.
Devin, I didn't get an invite to that. Well, it's right down the road from you.
My bad.
Nobody heads it like Devin.
That's where you can get a good, healthy serving of vitamin F. Fried.
Right.
Absolutely.
It wasn't that bad.
I wasn't sure where you were going with that.
So we were talking about investments during the break as well, and I know you were mentioning something, Patrick, about some investments that were some good ideas for some folks.
Absolutely. You know, Devin's talking about best investment in a car, you know, for a good price. We're kind of getting down to that time period where you're going to have to start thinking about taxes. With taxes, some people get tax returns. A lot of times they already have their money planned out, where they're going to spend it, what they're going to catch up on. Sometimes you're behind the curve and not only saving money on taxes, but putting some money away for retirement. So if you're planning on a tax return, one good idea for you might be planning on putting some money into a regular IRA. Something that you can deduct from your earned income. You work with your tax advisor. They can set that up for you, and an advisor can help you invest that money wisely, but at the same time can help you plan for retirement while deducting it from your earned income. It's not always what you make, but what can you save?
Right.
What can you put away for later? So another good idea there. If you don't need the tax deductibility, there's what's called a Roth IRA. It's something where you can put some money into an account, and because Uncle Sam's already paid his tax money, you can put it into account whatever that money grows to be. One day you never have to pay taxes on it. That's called a Roth IRA. There again, living in retirement, most people, what they're most concerned with is what they have is it.
Right.
And it's how much of it can they keep, meaning from paying taxes on, and a Roth IRA might be part of the solution there.
Nice.
So definitely doing what's suitable.
Nice. So what are some other things? I mean, you know, we have those people that get tax returns, but then we also have, or everybody does a tax return, but not everybody actually gets money back from their tax return. So what about those guys that have to pay taxes in? What are some additional ways that we can maybe lower our tax basis.
Absolutely. There again, with a regular or traditional IRA, if they're working with a tax advisor preparing taxes and they see that they might be paying some money, a small check or something to the government, could be able to put a contribution into a traditional IRA and set it up that way so that they can deduct it from their earned income, therefore might not have to write a check at all.
Sure.
So, yeah.
What are some, so like with your investment accounts, what are, you know, because a lot of people, you know, they'll invest monthly, they'll do, you know, dollar cost averaging or sure. whatever else. A lot of people don't have the lump sum, or maybe they don't have the wherewithal to put in a lump sum, but, you know, what are some.
Nobody has it like that.
That's right. Whatever. is there a minimum investment that people have to have in order to open up an account?
We usually say maybe around $250. You know, there's a maximum contribution you can make to an IRA every year, depending on your age. If you're under 50, you can make a maximum contribution of $5,500. If you're over 50, you can make a $5,500 contribution plus what's called a catch-up contribution of $1,000, which the two added together, $6,500 a year if you're over 50. But you do have to have earned income for that.
Right.
Yeah.
How about education? Is there you know, a lot of parents that listen to our show look at for education plans, stuff like that. What kind of education plans that are out there?
Sure.
That they can go and put their money in for kids?
Sure, absolutely. There are 529 plans. There's also a college savings plan. A lot of states actually have a college savings plan, which is something that you, for tax purposes, you'd want to talk to a tax advisor, your whoever you have preparing your taxes for you, how that might work out for you. But a lot of times, you know, it's more than just one person trying to help fund a child's education,
right?
Whether technical school, traditional college, whatever the case. Here in Georgia, we have a college at the state level, have a college savings plan, and it might, there again, dealing with your tax advisor, it might give you some tax benefits, saving right. some money on taxes, making contributions to a child's education. Or you can use a 529 plan through a brokerage, through an advisor that might not give you the tax benefits. But however, you can put money away for a child's education. It grows tax-free. As long as you're using it for higher education expenses for that child, you know, there's no tax implications for that.
That's awesome.
Patrick, you know, we're also heading into election year.
Absolutely.
And
heard a lot of talk about that.
And there is a huge impact of what that does on our economy. And just all the way around. I mean, gas prices will go up and down real rapidly. I mean, what are some effects that you guys are seeing right now from an investment standpoint?
Absolutely. What we're focusing on, I know in a lot of cases when we talk about our financial markets, you hear a lot of talk out there. What's some of the things you guys hear when you start hearing about the financial markets, people talking about it being election year? You know, we're right there in the midst of a presidential election year. What do you usually hear? Cricket?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me just tell you, we're just a few weeks away from the first caucuses and primaries. So presidential election season is in full swing.
Right.
As a voter, you guys are all voters.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't complain about anything unless you vote.
That's right.
But as a voter, you may be keenly interested in the election process, but as an investor, should you be concerned? A lot of people say, yes, should I be investing now? And you know, it's a presidential election year. Isn't that a bad year? Well, if you take a look back, you might be somewhat encouraged over the prospects of the financial markets this year. In the last 12 presidential election years. So I'm not talking about the last 12 years. I'm talking about the last 12 presidential election years. The Dow Jones Industrial Average has been up 9 times and down just 3. Hmm. So if you're playing out the historical performance, now, you know, as any advisor would tell you, past performance doesn't always indicate
right.
and guarantee future results. However, we like to run off of those numbers. So election years must be good for the financial markets from those numbers, right?
Right.
Well, not necessarily. In every year, the markets are influenced by a variety of factors: interest rates, inflation, corporate profits, geopolitical events. Anybody want to describe geopolitical events?
Your geopolitical events, when you get in an election year, it's the excitement that the new people coming in the office are going to bring. It's the It's the prospect of what their
policies. Their policies are talking things that might be going on, like we hear about our the global outlook now, having to do with China, some other things. There are pressures that are not within our direct economy's control. You've also got things like economic growth, even the weather. You guys ever think about the weather and how it affects our financial markets?
Oh, yeah.
You know, was it Sandy?
Hurricane Sandy.
Different things going on there. You've also got a point to make that 2016 will be no different. At this early stage of the year, you could one could say that the same of these factors, such as continued low interest rates and a reasonably strong economy, might bode well for investors. What do you guys think? You guys have any feelings on that at all?
Well,
investing and having to do with that?
Nobody has it like Devin.
Wow. I'm sensing a pattern here.
So when it comes to investing, you know, that's not something I've actually done a lot of.
You probably should.
And starting to get older in age and realize that, you know, I wish I would have done more when I was younger. You know, but it's like they say, you don't really see the importance of it when you're 24 and 25 years old. And then you look back and you go, man, if I would have done those steps when I was that age, the impact that it would be making to my life now would just be tremendous. So, or the impact that it could be making when I'm 65.
David's going to be a Walmart greeter. Welcome to Walmart.
Welcome to Walmart. Come on in. Aisle 9.
That's right.
In retirement, you work because you want to, not because you have to.
That's right.
Just saying.
That's right. When your feet hit the floor in the morning, you're doing what you want to. You're just as busy, if not busier, than when you were working. The difference is you're doing what you want to. Absolutely. It takes a plan.
That's it. Well, you know, in investing in retirement, education, anything else like that, I mean, I think that's huge for our listeners and for us as individuals. I mean, it's the responsible thing to do. And, you know, it doesn't, you know, $250 a month, I mean, for some people, that's a stretch, but you know, you start somewhere. You got to start somewhere. Start putting away for your future. You know, I always tell my clients, you know, when you're looking at education versus retirement, you know, I would always go, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would always go for taking care of retirement before education, because your kids can always end up taking care of themselves. There's student loans. There's grants. There's scholarships that they can go and get a hold of, but they're more than likely they're not going to be there to finance your retirement when you get to retirement age. So I'm of the opinion that it's more important to go and take care of your financial retirement future versus your kids.
Absolutely. And sometimes people are looking at different reasons why it's a scapegoat. Justify why not to invest,
right,
when the financial importance of accomplishing that goal is still there. It doesn't accomplish anything. So you've got, you've got time. Right. You've got time to plan for those things. Sometimes it's taking a look. The accounts that you're putting money into, a lot of times I tell people, are just as important as the investments you're using to accomplish that financial goal. Because if you're separating into different accounts, you've got a goal attached to that account, keeps you somewhat disciplined. Sometimes it's saying, well, I need to look down and put a budget together because I don't know how much, if I've got everything going out that I have coming in, then you're not separating really anything, and the fact still remains you've got those goals you're wanting to accomplish,
right.
But that's all it is, a dream, until you sit down, write it down, put together some type of plan.
Right.
Yeah.
And you'll help them do that, right?
Absolutely.
So how can our listeners, people listen to the show today, how can they contact you if they want more information?
So what we do is we help the serious long-term investor. If you see yourself in that boat, you can contact us at 770-464-9844, or by all means, as part of Small Town Living, you can always come by and see us at 224 Brookstone Place in Social Circle.
That's just a small hop, skip, and a jump away from here, guys. And, you know, I asked Patrick to come in because he actually takes care of me and my family, and I value Patrick's opinion. I value what he says and his advice, so... that's one of the reasons I asked him. Yeah, but
thanks for sticking to the script.
Yeah, thank you. he didn't pay me to say that. I mean, that's you know, I've gotten to know Patrick over the past several months, and you know, he's a good, honest fella, and I really value you know, his opinion of what he says.
Well, Patrick, we appreciate you coming in this morning and sharing some information, and hopefully we educated some people.
Yeah.
Hang out with us the rest of the show, and feel free to continue to chime in and banter with us and have some fun, and maybe we'll have some more opportunities to, as things come up with some stories, you'll be able to put some information in there too as well.
Well, absolutely. I also say that we could revisit a little bit more of that conversation having to do with the presidential election a little bit later in the show. I think it'll blend in a little bit better.
Now it's about that time to
sports.
To get into the sports segment with the sports doctor, Jim DuBose.
DuBose. See, I'm not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, because he's a good guy at sports.
That never gets old either.
You gotta love Homer, man.
I tell you what, Professor D, you do a really good job.
Yeah, I forgot my
jazz hands again.
Quick fingers.
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be quick fingers.
All right, I had a lot of questions. This is the second year that they've done the football playoff. Yeah. So I had a lot of questions coming in, and one of them is why the Big 12, one of the big conferences, they don't have a championship game. They don't have divisions like all the other ones do. So, you know, and furthermore, why is it called the Big 12 when there's only 10 teams? I mean, why does the Big 10 have 14 teams? And why does the Pac-12 have 12 teams? Oh, wait. No, that's right. Anyway, be like the Pac-12 or change the name of your stupid conference. Anyway.
Pac-10.
What was I saying?
And that is sports, ladies and gentlemen. We're the sports doctor, Jim DuBose.
Now called Conference USA.
So the Big 12, why don't they have a championship game? Well, they have finally seen the light, and commissioner of the Big 12 is Bob Bowlesby, which I thought it was funny.
That OBB.
You can't spell his last name without B-O-W-L, like bowl game, but whatever. Maybe that's just me. He said that 7 of the 9 conferences voted in favor of giving the Big 12 a championship game. But even though they voted it in, the Big 12, all the presidents of the schools still have to vote it in to actually put it in place. But they are, at least are allowed. Before, they weren't allowed because they only had 10 teams. And most of the schools apparently didn't have any interest of going above 10 teams. So So the motion still has to be approved, like I said, within the Big 12, the presidents, and it seems that the Big 12 commissioner doesn't really want any more than 10 or any divisions. So I'm not really sure how the top two teams would even be recognized at this point. So, but there is one person, the Oklahoma president, David Boren, is pushing for a 12-team conference with a championship game and a Big 12 TV network. So that'll be interesting to see how that turns out. And hopefully they'll wise up and get to that championship game. And real quick before we go into the break, we're going to talk about the NFL playoff games this weekend. You got the Patriots hosting the Chiefs. That game is on right now. I don't need to tell you how that game is going. Just turn the TV on.
And just, Patriots are going to win it.
And just turn the sound down and pay attention. So tonight, the Packers travel to Arizona to take on the Cardinals. They had a matchup on December 27th. Arizona beat them by 30. It was a pretty lopsided game. I don't think this game will be a blowout, but I think Arizona will take it. And tomorrow, you got the bigger games. You got Seattle and Carolina. That's going to be a good game. Can't wait to see that. Pittsburgh and Denver as well. And
I go Denver, and I go in Carolina.
I hope so, man. Carolina's only favored by 2.5 points, but I hope they win by 50.
Yeah, I hope they just crush
blow them out. I'd love to see Cam and the Panthers just steamroll Seattle.
Seattle shouldn't even be in there.
Well, they did play in the season in October in Seattle, and Carolina did win. It was they went ahead late, but they also met last season in the playoffs in Seattle, where Seattle beat them 31-17. So I'd love to see them. I'd love to see the Hawks come down to the South and get beat. Be great, man. Pittsburgh and Denver. Denver's favored by 7. Pittsburgh won their matchup in December by 7 points in Pittsburgh, but Peyton didn't play that game. So we'll see if Big Ben can pull off a win in Denver with Peyton. That should be a good one, too. So I think Sunday's got the better game. So What I want to do when we come back, we'll talk briefly about the college football championship game and some of the ratings that came out there for that. We talked last week about the playoff games, and they were down quite a bit. We'll talk about the championship game and go into a little bit of Braves.
Excellent.
Right around the corner, and we'll hit all that when we come back.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to 107.1 FM, WJBB.
This is the Gemini Ransom Effect.